What is the True Gospel? By Herbert W. Armstrong. What is the true gospel that Jesus preached? Did Paul preach a different gospel to the Gentiles? Here at last is made plain the truth about the kingdom of God. And this booklet is published as a free educational service in the public interest by the Ambassador College Department of Theology, Pasadena, California, all rights reserved. The booklet titled, What is the True Gospel? Why should there be such perplexity, such confusion in every phase of life today? It should be the function of religion to point the way. Yet here, too, we find only confusion of tongues, hundreds of religious denominations and sects in a Babylon of disagreement. Even in the professing Christian religion of the Western world, we find different sects and denominations preaching a variety of different gospels. Some designate their gospel as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Others call their gospel the gospel of salvation. Still others profess the gospel of grace. Some the gospel of the kingdom. And many now blossom out with a modern social gospel, while others call their gospel the Israel message. Why have they lost the only true gospel which God sent by Jesus Christ? Why? Does it make any difference which gospel we believe? Listen to the answer of the eternal God as inspired in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the first chapter, the 8th and 9th verses. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And it is made a double curse. For the next verse says, For I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Why, then, has the world lost sight of that gospel? Why do people believe different gospels today? This is an astounding, incredible situation. It ought to shake you out of passive indifference. Your eternity is at stake. This is not an inconsequential, unimportant matter. Jesus Christ said it is necessary to believe the gospel to be saved. Yet the many, the hundreds of millions today, do not know what that gospel is. Again, his parting commission to his apostles, being sent out as his ministers to build his church, was this: Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They were to preach the gospel. Jesus then said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Notice, Jesus said, He that believeth, believeth what? Why, believeth that which they preached, of course, the gospel. Not a gospel, not any gospel, the gospel. On the authority of Jesus Christ, it is necessary to believe that precise, identical gospel in order to be saved. And to believe the true gospel, we must first come to know what it is. Now, with whom and from where and to whom did the true gospel originate? With Christ? No, not with Christ. God the Father had promised to send a messenger into this world from heaven, bearing a message from Him, God the Father. God had promised that in Malachi 3:1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And that messenger, as explained in Mark 1:2, was John the Baptist, preparing the way before Jesus Christ. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. The very first sermon by which God had the gospel preached to Gentiles, when Peter was sent to the house of the Gentile Cornelius, recorded in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, gives us very explicit directions for locating the one and only true gospel. Open your own Bible. This is what the inspired Peter said as recorded in Acts 10:36-37. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Notice carefully these points. 1. With whom did this message, this gospel, originate? Peter said, the word which God sent. 2. To whom did God send it? Peter said unto the children of Israel, although now, 10 years later, this same gospel was being opened up to Gentiles, of all nations, originally it was sent to the children of Israel, and it was sent by God the Father. It did not originate with Jesus Christ, nor with Peter, nor with the Apostle Paul. It was sent by God the Father of Jesus Christ. 3. By whom was it sent? Who was the divine messenger who brought and preached the message? Peter said, by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the divine messenger. Malachi called him the messenger of the covenant. That message, then, is the new covenant message, for Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, and Jesus Christ of the new, as affirmed by many scriptures. This, then, is the New Testament gospel. Now, 4, where was it first preached? To what geographical location shall we look for its beginning? Peter said it began from Galilee. Yes, Galilee, then, is the place where it was first preached. Not Jerusalem, Galilee. When did Jesus begin to preach this particular gospel in Galilee? Peter said, after the baptism which John preached. The true gospel of the new covenant, then, did not begin with John the Baptist. It began after John had completed his baptismal ministry. Now, these very definite directions lead us directly to the first chapter of Mark. This first verse tells us this is a record of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then it relates the baptizing ministry of John, preaching not the gospel, but the baptism of repentance, which prepares the way for the gospel, which the living God sent by Jesus Christ. And then we come to verses 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. There is the exact time for the beginning of the preaching of the true gospel, Jesus. There is the divine messenger by whom God sent it, came into Galilee, the precise geographical location, so we now have the time, the Israelites residing there to whom God sent the message, the place, and the messenger. So whatever we find Jesus preaching here is the one and only true gospel. And what do we read? Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice Jesus said, believe the gospel. What gospel? The one he was proclaiming, the gospel of the kingdom of God. But when they ask, don't we need to believe on Jesus? Of course, other scriptures teach that. But at this particular time, Jesus said we must believe him. Believe what he said, believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Some believed on Jesus, but did not believe Jesus, did not believe what he said. John 7:31, 8:30, 31, and 46. But if the one and only true gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God, what about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that a false gospel? Not at all. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel he brought as God's messenger. The gospel he proclaimed is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not man's gospel about the person of Christ. It is Christ's gospel. The gospel Jesus preached, the gospel sent by him, by God. And therefore it is also called in Scripture the gospel of God. The gospel of God is God's gospel, his message, his good news, which he sent by Jesus. Also, the gospel of Jesus Christ is Christ's gospel, the gospel Christ brought from God, the gospel he proclaimed. We hear a great deal today of the gospel of man, about the person of Jesus Christ, confining the message solely to the things about Jesus. As a result, millions believe on Christ, but who do not believe Christ. But Jesus' gospel is his message. And yet it was not only his, but his Father's who sent him. As he himself said in John 12:49-50, Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Yes, the Father sent Jesus bearing a message, which is the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is God's spokesman, the Word that was made flesh and lived and taught on this earth. In John 14:24, Jesus said, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And descriptive of the religion of the Old Testament and the gospel of the New, it is written in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And what is the kingdom of God? There are some in this modern day of religious confusion who believe the gospel of the kingdom of God is not for this age, this New Testament time of grace. They reject and therefore do not believe the true gospel as Jesus commanded. and thereby reject the very conditions to salvation, saying the gospel of the kingdom is a gospel for some future age yet to come. But as the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant of the very gospel which alone can bring us eternal life. There was a definite time for the beginning of the gospel, since John. The law and the prophets were until John. Since John's special preparatory ministry, the kingdom of God is preached. There was a definite time for this New Testament gospel to begin. And after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, saying the time is fulfilled, and preaching the gospel. And so now, what is the gospel? The English word gospel comes from the word Godspell and means good news. Daily we read the news of world happenings, mostly bad news. We live in a troubled, chaotic world, and the very best news you can hear in this day or any other is the good news of the kingdom of God. But what is a kingdom? Primarily, it is a government, a nation, and the government which rules it. And especially in this biblical sense, there is a dual sense of the nation, including all its subjects or citizens and the government by which it is ruled. Again, in Bible usage, a kingdom is often a family from a single parent grown into a nation. Four things are necessary to constitute a kingdom. One, the territory with its specific location and definite boundary lines, with two, a king or supreme ruler or governing agent ruling over three, subjects or citizens within that territorial jurisdiction, with four, laws and form of government. If we leave out any one of these vital requisites, we do not have and cannot believe the true gospel for this time. We must know whether the kingdom of God is here now or coming later, whether its territory is the earth or up in heaven, whether it is a literal kingdom of human mortals or a kingdom of immortals, whether it is literal or figurative, real or unreal. And on many of these things, a great many people are all mixed up. But now, what about the gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation? Notice when Nicodemus came to Jesus secretly, as recorded in John the 3rd chapter, Jesus said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom of God, explaining a most important phase of it. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, Flesh and blood, that is, a mortal human, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The church, then, cannot be the kingdom of God, for it is composed of flesh and blood mortals. The kingdom is not, either, an ethereal something set up in the hearts of men. Jesus went on to show Nicodemus that we who are born of flesh, are flesh, just mortal flesh and blood. We were born that way, human, mortal. But it is possible for us to be born again, next time, not as a mortal flesh and blood baby, but born of the Spirit. Then we shall be spirit, composed of spirit. Now in the 4th chapter of John, we read that God is a spirit. The kingdom of God is composed of those born of God. And, as I have explained previously, God is not a single person, but the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, portrays God as a family of persons. A single family or kingdom, but composed of more than one person. We have the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom. The Bible reveals an angel kingdom created by God and composed of spirit, not matter. And then, high above all, is the very creating kingdom, the God kingdom, or in other words, the kingdom of God. God is reproducing himself. God created man in God's image so that man may become impregnated, begotten, and by a resurrection be born as an immortal spirit-composed person in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul made very plain to the Corinthians that while mortal flesh and blood cannot inherit or enter into the kingdom of God, that through the resurrection of those begotten by the Holy Spirit of God during this mortal life, this mortal then puts on immortality, and we, like the very God himself, become immortal, incorruptible, actually, literally, born of God's Spirit into the very God family. At that point, we recommend you write for two free booklets titled, Why Were You Born? And Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? They're both on tape recording, available from the Educational Service for the Blind. Now, how do we enter into that glorious kingdom? Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, Repent and believe the gospel. Just two things we do, repent and believe. We must believe the gospel, and that means also believing on Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom of God, and coming King of kings over all the families of the earth. It means believing in him as personal Savior, as High Priest, now and as coming King. But to repent is to completely change the mind in respect to sin. And sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4, the law of God by which God rules the kingdom. It means a complete, total change of mind and of life. It means we repent of transgressing the rule, the will, the laws of God. What did Jesus say to the young man who asked him how to inherit eternal life? He said, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Matthew 19:17. He went on to show that he referred to the Ten Commandments, God's great spiritual law, summing up in principle the whole duty of righteous living. It is a way of life and a way contrary to human nature and to the ways and customs of this world. It is the basic spiritual law and way of life of the kingdom of God, the way to peace of mind, to world peace, to happiness, prosperity, and joy, the way to eternal life. Yes, Jesus proclaimed and taught the gospel of the kingdom of God. But did he command his ministers in building his church to preach this same gospel? Quickly, let us notice the scriptures, Luke 9:1-2. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Luke 10:1-9. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, "Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." In Jesus' prayer, so commonly called the Lord's Prayer, he prayed, "Thy kingdom come." Then it wasn't here yet, and it isn't here yet today. But he taught us to pray for it to come, for his kingdom, and that alone shall bring peace and happiness to this sin-sick, war-weary earth. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." The Father's will. What gospel did the early evangelists preach in first sending out the faith once delivered? How did the early church carry out the commission? Notice Philip preaching at Samaria, Acts 8:12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul, Acts 20:25-21, "I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice the gospel Paul preached to Gentiles after he had turned completely away from the Jews. Acts 28:30-31, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ." And what gospel did Jesus say should be preached today? Matthew 24:14, speaking in the present, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come," the end of this age. A single, all-powerful, world-ruling government is coming that will equalize all world problems fairly and righteously for all peoples. Of course, scientists say such a world-ruling government is impossible. Yet the biblical revelation says it is not impossible and that it is actually coming in our time. It's about time that someone speaks out in this world and tells the world that the very gospel of Jesus Christ was the advance announcement of this very world government. A government not by selfishly motivated man, but by the living, all-powerful God. Jesus Christ's message, his gospel, was the kingdom of God, the government of the living God. Jesus Christ was born to be a king, Luke 1:31-33. When Jesus was on trial for his life, Pilate said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." John 18:37. Jesus had just told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, that is not of this age, but of the world tomorrow." John 18:36. Jesus is coming in supreme power and glory. Notice this description of the event. "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24:30. He is coming to set up the government of God and to rule all nations with the help of those who have qualified in this life. In Revelation 3:21, Christ is quoted as saying, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." And again, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Revelation 2:26-27. Jesus is the Messiah. Notice Isaiah's prophecy about the Messiah's coming government. "For a child is born unto us, a son is given unto us, and the government is upon his shoulder, that the government may be increased, and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it through justice and through righteousness from henceforth even forever." Isaiah 9:5-6, Jewish Publication Society. Micah predicted this time when he wrote, "In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Micah 4:1-3. When the Messiah returns with all the power of God, we shall have world peace with happiness, joy, prosperity, and a changed world inheriting eternal life. That is the true gospel proclaimed over the world tomorrow on the air worldwide in all the world. Now for some additional reading. For further information about the kingdom of God, which is available in 2 free booklets we recommend, send for them. They're titled, "Just What Do You Mean? Kingdom of God and the Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like." They're on tape recording, available from the Educational Service for the Blind. You know, the Bible is a now book. Believe it or not, the Bible was written for our day, this age, this generation. The Bible is the most up-to-date book you can read today. In the pages of this book that nobody knows, I reveal the causes of all of today's ills, the social problems, the economic problems, and even the threat of nuclear annihilation hanging over mankind today. The Bible shows where world events are leading and what the final outcome will be. But ironically, this book of all books is the least understood of all books. Why? Simply because when most people try to read the Bible, they can't understand it. Consequently, they assume it's out of date and irrelevant in our modern age. But you can understand it, and here's how. For more than a decade and a half, Ambassador College has been helping thousands to become biblical literates through the Ambassador College Correspondence Course. This unique course of biblical understanding has led over 200,000 students in nearly every country on earth to a greater knowledge and understanding of the Bible. This course has been designed to guide you through a systematic study of your own Bible. The Bible is the only textbook. A different major subject of vital interest in this fantastic push-button age is thoroughly gone into and made clear with each 16-page monthly lesson. There are no assignments to send in. You review and evaluate your own progress at home, and there is no tuition cost to you whatsoever. This course is absolutely free. Just write to the Educational Service for the Blind and ask for your tape recordings of the Ambassador College Correspondence Course. You'll be glad you did. And with that, we complete the reading of this booklet titled, "What Is the True Gospel?"